Now, here's a question for you. Are pharmacists fit to cope with all the additional pressures? There seems to be a great effort being put into sending you to the pharmacist as opposed to the doctor. Let me speak to Terry Maguire, who's a community pharmacist. Terry, good morning.
Very good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sure you will say that pharmacists are well fit to cope, but you have additional problems that people may not be aware of.
Well, we certainly have additional problems in terms of funding, Frank, and it's something that a crisis has hit us over the last number of months. The significance of this, which is a problem in terms of the huge increase in prices of very common day drugs, which has occurred probably since November 2017, continued into December, and we're still suffering this problem in the current month. And it's to do essentially with the way that drugs are supplied across, it's a global market today, and we're seeing huge increases in prices. It's not just like 5% or 10%. Some drugs commonly used by the population in Northern Ireland are going up by 1,000+ times. So something I would have bought in October for £1.62 is now costing me £70 a box. Something I bought at £1.50, an anti-epileptic drug, cost me £1.55. It's now cost me £39. And this really has having a huge impact on the network of pharmacies because it's creating huge financial instability. In other words, we're not guaranteed that we're going to get paid the price that we paid for the drug by the government because the system is not really geared to respond quickly.
So what are you calling for? Are you calling for prescription charges to be reintroduced?
Well, we can have that discussion, and I think that's a slightly different matter. But what we're calling for really is government...
But is it a different matter? Because it would mean the patient would pay for the drug.
Yes, well, prescription charges never were a payment for the drug anyway. They were a tax on the sick. And that itself needs to be discussed as to where that money would come. There are probably six or seven options for the reintroduction of a prescription cost. And indeed, I'm quite open to that discussion because I think it's something that's quite healthy. For example, in the past, the prescription charge system was completely unfair. It only was applied to a reasonably small percentage of the population. And there were lots of people who were exempt who probably shouldn't have been exempt. So you would need to look at a prescription charge system that was fit for purpose and really applied fairly across the population. And indeed, I think there would be some positive aspects of the reintroduction of a prescription charge if it was done properly and rightly. In other words, the vast majority of people, paying and contributing to the cost of the health service. But you're not actually paying for the drugs. You're paying for using the service, and that really is then used more widely and may not even be used in the health service. So, you know, it would have to be that if it was reintroduced, it would be specifically for trying to address the very significant funding problems that we currently have in the health service.
So if you buy a box of drugs at £50 and you give them out to the public, and the public obviously have them prescribed by their doctor, so they need them, you've spent £50 bringing them into the shop. What do you charge the government for the drugs that cost you £50?
£50. We don't make any money on the drugs. There are obviously margins which are then rectified down the line depending on what the market price is. My payment is paid in professional services. I'm paid by a prescription fee on that dispensing, so that pays me for my professional service. And in addition to that, there's other payments in terms of control drugs. So the complexity of the way pharmacists are paid has nothing to do with the cost of drugs. Unfortunately, we are exposed to volatility in the market. So pharmacists don't get paid for, they don't make profit margins the way that a baker or a butcher would get in terms of selling their product. We are paid professional fees. And indeed, the structure of payment for pharmacy and the pharmacy service is no longer fit for purpose. We need to really think about how pharmacists are paid so that we can move on from a service that's linked mainly to the supply of drugs to a service whereby we're properly funded to do the things that your excellent contributor George O'Neill said earlier in the week when he was talking about his 3 Before GP campaign, to actually properly support a pharmacy services that will significantly reduce some of the burdens across the health service.
Because you would find it very hard, and I think most people listening to the programme would agree, that if you're forking out huge amounts of money for drugs and the government isn't reimbursing you, there's only so much of that you can take.
Yeah, there's no way a baker's going to do that, or no way a butcher's going to do that. I mean, you're not going to actually sort of give someone the actual product. They then pay you a much lesser price than you paid for it. And that's not sustainable. We'll go with that for a couple of months, but this will really produce a huge crisis unless the government can get their concessionary pricing system, which is the mechanism by which this is resolved, up and running, so that at the start of a month when I'm putting my prescriptions in, I know that I'm confident that I'm going to get the proper payment for those medicines that I should be getting. In other words, all I want is the money back that I forked out at the start.
Having said that, if you walk down the high street and you look at the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker and the pharmacist, if you put them in order of who the public think would be making the most money, the pharmacist is the person that you'd want to be because they seem to be very well healed, whether it's a private pharmacy or a national high street pharmacy.
Well, that may be a perception. We're in each community. We're very lucky in the sense that pharmacy has been able to survive in the most deprived sections of Northern Ireland. And that's important because pharmacies become, in addition to other things, they are an element of social capital. They really are important for communities to have a pharmacy, to have a resource where someone can walk off the street, walk in and have access to a healthcare professional. It's a healthcare professional, highly trained healthcare professional, within 1.2, 1.3 minutes. We know that from research. And we also know that the public really respect pharmacy because if you look at any surveys the health service have done, you'll find that 98% verification of really how important pharmacies are for communities. The problem with this particular funding crisis is the pharmacies in those marginal communities, those communities which are very deprived, they're the ones who are probably going to get hit first. And they're the ones that we can't afford to lose because the biggest problem with health services, the prevention, the self-care, so that people don't get to a crisis and they're not very sick, and that's why the health service struggles to treat them.
So where the GP might be disappearing, where the bank has already disappeared, the pharmacy or the chemist in that little town or village might be at risk in the near future.
Well, it's certainly potentially at risk all the time in terms of the proper funding. I mean, we have a network of 500 pharmacies across Northern Ireland, and I'm very proud of the fact that we have pharmacies in every single area. You take away pharmacy from an area, and you very significantly see an increase in the social deprivation factors. I mean, social deprivation is a real killer. Whenever you've got an area, a community who really are lacking resources, we're lacking and a social capital, then you actually find that they suffer more from heart disease, they suffer more from respiratory disease, they suffer huge amounts of mental health problems. So this is all part of building communities, giving them good resilience and making sure the right services are available, and pharmacy is an exceptionally important part of that.
There's a long list of people making their pitch on radio programmes like this, including the pharmacists today, Terry. So I generally finish the conversation by asking this question to everyone who's got an issue to raise. Would a government in this country help the plight that you're describing, or is the government almost irrelevant to it?
No, I think the government is fundamental to it. I mean, we are the only sort of customer we have is the government. We are a part of the National Health Service. They need to actually understand that the system by which we get a remuneration, which actually keeps us in business, is fundamentally coming from the government.
But does it matter whether it's a government based in London or a government based at Stormont?
The issue for me is that there are civil servants and commissioners who probably know more than politicians. The politicians, of course, have to understand this plight, but the commissioners and indeed the civil servants, I think they've got the understanding that this is an important issue, but they need to also prioritise it. And there are priorities right across healthcare. I understand that. But throwing money at crisis all the time seems to be the way we manage it. And there's a much better way of spending £4.5 billion is what we spent in healthcare by actually getting the transformation that we've been talking about for the last 10 years. And yet we've failed to put it in place. We've failed to put it in place because there hasn't been the political support for that. I'm not so concerned that we haven't got a government. I think we have a crisis that needs managed, and there are civil servants and there are commissioners in place who can resolve that.
Okay, Terry, good having you on. Thanks very much for your time this morning. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Terry Maguire, community pharmacist. Pharmacists, of course, very much open for business. If you're thinking of going to your GP, they're still mad keen for you to think of them as a viable alternative. But the overall and general funding, and how often does that come up? The funding crisis in the health service and all the different dimensions of the health service.